everyone this morning, and I know that you are truly thankful today that God has given us another opportunity to gather and worship Him as our Lord and our God. How thankful we are to be living in such a great country as America. And even with all of its faults and all of its flaws, it is still the greatest country in all of the world. I really believe it is the greatest country that God has ever blessed. I really believe that. And how grateful today that we ought to be for what God has done and what God is doing, even in spite of all the problems and all the bad things that are happening in America. God is blessing our nation. And as long as we bless Him, I believe that He will bless us. You know, I'm thankful for the framers of the Constitution and for those who gave us the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States of America. I'm thankful for the great patriots and those great statesmen who actually believed that America could rise to be a great and powerful nation in the world in which we live. Ever really wondered what happened to those men who signed the Declaration of Independence? Believe it or not, five signers were captured by the British and as traitors and were tortured before they died. When you stop and think about those men, you have to stop and think about all that they gave up to sign that one document called the Declaration of Independence. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons to the Revolutionary Army, and another had 2 sons that were captured. 9 of the 56 men fought and died from wounds or hardships during that Revolutionary War. What kind of men were they? Well, 24 of them were lawyers, and they were jurists. 11 were merchants, 9 were farmers and plantation owners. Men of means and well-educated, but they signed that Declaration of Independence knowing full well that the penalty of death would be theirs if they were captured. They signed and they pledged their lives and their fortunes in their sacred honor. And such were the stories and sacrifices of the American Revolution. These were not wild-eyed, rabble-rousing ruffians, but they were soft-spoken men. They were men of means and men of education. They had security, but they really valued liberty more than anything else. In standing tall and straight and unwavering, they pledged for the support of the Declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. And they said, "We mutually pledge ourselves to each other, to our lives, to our fortune, and to our sacred honor." And they believed in the God of the universe who made it and who would sustain them in those difficult times. You know, we have a lot of people today that do not believe in God. And we have a lot of people that do not believe that God has really blessed our nation and how important He is to the ongoing of these United States of America. But next Saturday, we will celebrate our independence as a nation. And how grateful again that we ought to be that God has allowed us to live in a land of freedom. On Independence Day, we should remind ourselves, I really believe, of one of the great truths of all time, that men and women in 1776 held to be self-evident. And that is that American liberty and democracy as we know it does not just tolerate religion, but we depend upon it. We depend upon God today. And in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, the Bible says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God says, I will heal their land and I will bless them." I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, let freedom ring. I really believe that freedom can ring. And I believe, even though that phrase came not just a few years ago with some politician, but it actually had its origin in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, with the great Freedom Bell. Patrick Henry once said, "Give me freedom or give me liberty or give me death." I really believe that there is a striking correlation and connection between freedom and faith. And I really believe as long as we exercise faith in God, that freedom will prevail. Freedom does not come without its price. Freedom does not come easily. It did not come for those who founded this great country, nor does it come easy for us today. But I believe that with God's help, freedom will ring. But I also believe that there is a great correlation between government and God. One thing this country needs to understand is that this country cannot govern itself apart from God, but we are a nation that is under God. And the only way that you and I can really celebrate America is to celebrate the God who gave us the liberty that we have in this country. And you know what? It's interesting that the founding fathers actually understood that. Let me just give you a few quotes of some of the founding fathers of our country and what they had to say about God. It was George Washington who said, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of the Almighty God, to obey His will, and to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and His favor." Benjamin Franklin once said, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without His notice, it is probable that an empire cannot rise without His aid. Nor can an empire continue without the divine providence of God." Thomas Jefferson, one of the great statesmen and early writers of the Constitution, also said, "And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when they had removed their only firm basis, or from that basis the conviction in the minds of people that these liberties are in fact a gift from God? They are not to be violated, but with His watchful in be watchful. Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that His justice cannot sleep forever." I believe that America is great today because God has blessed us. But I believe that if we continue in the direction that we are taking today, where we are digressing away from God, we're trying to get God out of everything, out of the minds of the people of America, then it won't be long until America goes down the tubes. So I say today, let freedom ring, but let it ring in the way that God says it must ring. There are three things that I want you to know today about freedom. One of them is that real freedom is given by God. Not only from the standpoint of a nation, but the real freedom that I'm talking about this morning comes through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. For in the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, Paul would write, he says that you were called by freedom, and we have been. Do you know the very first thing that God gave Adam in the Garden of Eden was not food? It was not a tree that was going to sustain his life. It was not blessings. But you know what it was? The first gift of God to Adam in the Garden of Eden was freedom. For listen to what God says. He says, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat." Think about how important freedom is to you. I can think about how important it is for me. When I got out of bed this morning, I didn't have to ask anyone if I could come to worship this morning. I don't have to ask anyone what I'm going to preach on this morning, as long as it is the Word of God. I don't have to ask anyone where I'm going to eat after church today. I just know it's not going to be at my house. I didn't have to ask anybody what I'm going to do with my time this afternoon. I love my wife, by the way. We were out of town yesterday, weren't we, darling? We were busy, yeah. Freedom. How thankful we are for freedom. God gave Adam freedom. The first thing He gave him. No disease. No problems. No heartache. Only a utopia. But when He broke the bonds of freedom, then problems ensued. And do you know what? When we break the bonds of our relationship with God, We are destined in this country and in any country, by the way, to have one problem right after another. We cannot be reminded too often that the founders of our country thought that democracy in reality was a divine adventure. And it was an ongoing process that had to be worked out and perfected in a step in humanity's advancement. There was an article that was published in Time magazine some time ago that stated, "Many have lost all sense of reason, and they have deserted the word of God that says that righteousness will exalt a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. They have liberalized, they have modernized, they have compromised, they have formalized, and now they are fossilizing." Roy McLean said, "We live in a world that is trying to fight its way to peace, drink its way to pleasure, buy its way to eternity, and filibuster its case before God. And you know what? You will never, ever get God to go along with your ways. For God says in Isaiah 55 and 6 that my ways are higher than your ways." And they are. We must understand that God is asking us to conform to Him. But many of us, as we stated in our Bible class this morning here in the auditorium, are trying to get God to conform His way to meet our standards. It cannot happen. You just stop and think about even the Lord's Day. You know, think about how many people are meeting here and how many people that have gone to the lake, to the golf course, and just about anywhere in the world other than worshiping God. You know, we used to call it the Lord's Day. That's really what the Bible called it. And then we started calling it Sunday, and now we call it the weekend. We don't even give God the pleasure of calling it His day any longer. We cannot forget God and endure as a nation. Our hope is not in politics. I would tell you that. By the way, did you know they have a new dance up in Washington? It's called the politician. It's one step forward, it's one step backward, and then it's two steps to the side. Well, believe it or not, we do not have our hope in Washington. Our hope is not in politics. Our hope is not in a bigger armament. Our hope is not in education. Our hope is not in the United Nations. Our hope is not in bombs and a bigger arsenal. But our hope this morning is only in God. And we must always remember that He is the sustainer of our nation. If I were to ask you the question, who signed? Do you know anyone that signed the Declaration of Independence? Would you know? Could you name anyone? You know what? Most everybody will say John Hancock. And that's true. It is the biggest signature on the Declaration of Independence. And most everybody would say John Hancock. But believe it or not, do you know anything about a man by the name of Thomas McKean? You probably have never even heard of him. But did you know that he was the most unusual signer of the Declaration of Independence? Yet his name was almost lost in history. You know why? Because it was only 5 years after the signing of the Declaration of Independence in 1781 that Thomas McKean signed that Declaration of Independence after it had been adopted. Now think about it. What good was his signature then? God is not asking us to be latecomers, but He is asking us to step to the front and do what we need to do in this country. Real freedom is given by God. The Declaration of Independence states that we have the inalienable right to the pursuit of happiness. I think several years ago I mentioned the fact that the inalienable right is not a word that we use too much today. We never talk about the fact that we're going to go home and eat some inalienable food, or that we're going to get out and drive our inalienable automobile, or go to our inalienable house. Now, the word inalienable means that it cannot be taken away, that we have the inalienable right by God and by the Constitution of the United States of America to the right to pursue happiness and to worship God according to the dictates of His word, not to the dictates of this country or some politician who declares it to be so out of Washington. We have the right to pursue happiness and life and liberty. Thomas Jefferson once said that the hand that gave us life also gave us liberty. And he said that if we ever forget from whom freedom came, we will lose it. That's why there is a direct correlation between God and government. God does govern in the affairs of men. That's why there's such a direct correlation between faith and freedom. As long as we have faith in God, there will be freedom. No God, no freedom. No God, no government. That brings me to a second point. Real freedom is governed by love. God loves us, and we love Him. Real freedom is when you love others more than yourself. You know, God didn't just bless this nation because a bunch of men came together and said, hey, we want to have our own country. We want to have our own nation. But God blesses us when we try to seek to do His will. And when we abandon His God-given principles, then we are destined to fail. Robin Williams is a great actor. Know who I'm talking about when I talk about Robin Williams. He's actually kind of a nut, but in some ways, if you've ever watched some of his movies. But he wrote something the other day called The Plan. And I want to share this with you this morning because I thought it was really pretty good. If you stop and listen to what he says. He said he'd been hearing about the plan for peace, but he really hadn't seen a plan for peace. It just is not there. You know, all of our politicians up in Washington keep talking about how we're going to bring about peace in this country and peace around the world, but it really hadn't happened. They keep talking the talk, but not walking the walk. And so anyway, Robin Williams came up, of all people, came up with a plan for peace. And here's what he says. He said, the United States will apologize to the world for our interference in their affairs, past and present. You know, people like Hitler and Mussolini and Stalin and Tojo and Noriega and Milosevic and Hussein and the rest of those good old boys, because they don't want us there anyway. We will withdraw our troops from all around the world, starting with Germany and South Korea and the Middle East and the Philippines, and they don't want us there either. We would station, however, our troops at our own borders. No one will be allowed to sneak through the holes of defense. Number three, all illegal aliens have 90 days to get their affairs together and leave. We will give them a free trip home. After 90 days, the remainder will be gathered up and deported immediately, regardless of whom they are. They are illegal. By the way, France would welcome them. All future visitors will be thoroughly checked and limited to 90 days unless given a special permit. No one from a terrorist nation will be allowed in, and if you don't like it there, change it yourself and don't hide there. Asylum would never be given to anyone. We don't need any more cab drivers or 7-Eleven cashiers. No foreign students over age 21. The older ones are the bombers. If they don't attend classes, they get a D and sent back home today. The U.S. will make a strong effort to become self-sufficient energy-wise. This will include developing non-polluting sources of energy, but will require a temporary drilling of oil in the Alaskan wilderness. And the caribou will just have to understand for a while. Number seven. Offer Saudi Arabia and all the other oil-producing countries $10 a barrel for their oil. If they don't like it, we will go somewhere else. They can go somewhere else and sell their production, and about a week of the wells filling up, the storage sites would be enough. Well, if there is a famine or other national catastrophe in the world, we will not interfere. They can pray to Allah or whomever for seeds, rain, cement, whatever they need. Besides, most of what we give them anyway is actually stolen, taken from the people, and given to the leaders. Number nine, ship the UN headquarters to an isolated island somewhere. We don't need the spies and fair weather friends here in America. Besides, the building would make a good homeless shelter or a lockup for illegal aliens. Number 10. All Americans must go to charm and beauty school. That way, no one can ever call us the ugly Americans any longer. The language we speak is English. Learn it or leave it. And now, isn't that a winner of a plan? One final note. He said, the Statue of Liberty is no longer to say, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, but she's got a baseball bat yelling, you want a piece of me? America, she is the land of the free and the home of the brave. And a better America begins with you and it begins with me. But we must uphold God and spiritual values. And we must understand that freedom is not cheap. It is not. You say real freedom understands that in America we have the freedom to do what is right, not the freedom to do what is wrong. Real freedom says, I will not steal from you. Real freedom says, I will not hurt you. Real freedom says, I will not lie to you. Real freedom says, I will not kill you. That's real freedom. And how grateful we ought to be for it. But thirdly and last of all, real freedom is guided by wisdom as well. Real freedom is not doing what you want to do, but doing what you ought to do. Real freedom follows certain guidelines. And early Americans understood that. You know, we live in a world today that says anything is all right, and everything is all right. There is nothing wrong. There is nothing right. Live the way you want to. Do what you want to. Step on whoever you have to step on to get where you want to go. And God says it is wrong. You know, I can remember America, and any of you of any age can well remember an America where people really loved one another in this country. And you didn't run down this country. We certainly didn't have politicians going to other countries apologizing for America. We didn't have statesmen. We didn't have senators. We didn't have congressmen. We didn't have presidents bowing before other people. But America stood tall and was proud of who she was. And America is a great country. But her greatness will only be governed by God who fashioned this great country. You know, in actuality, when you stop and think about it, people coming to this country years ago to form this country were men who came to seek God. But today we have more people who are seeking gold instead of God. And when a nation turns inward, and when a nation starts thinking about the things of the world, materially speaking, and gold instead of God, we have missed it. Some people say America's greatest days are behind us. I don't believe that. I believe our greatest days are before us. And I think only a pessimist would truly say, hey, we've lived in the good old days and they're all gone, they're all over. No, they're not. But I believe the way to America's greatness in the future is return to God. And I believe exactly what the man of God said in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, and God says this, folks, just listen to it. You want to know how to get America back on track again? You know what? We all need to send a petition up to Washington and tell them that every one of those folks up there need to go back and read 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. It's the answer to all of our problems in America. When God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, and seek my face, stop believing that someone in Washington is our Savior and Liberator, start realizing that our real liberator came from heaven. And it was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And understand that the greatness of America is not dependent upon human beings, but upon Jehovah. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. God heals the brokenness of any country who seeks to honor him. God is one who causes nations to rise, but he is the one who causes nations to fall as well. If you don't believe it, you go back to the nation through whom Jesus came, the Israelites, the nation of Israel. There were times when God blessed Israel because they blessed him and they honored him. And by the way, when God wrote that book in 2 Chronicles 7:14, he was talking about Israel. When my people are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my ways. But it is still true today of us. And because Israel refused to honor God, and because Israel refused to exalt the God of heaven, they went through difficult times. They went through, I believe, what I really believe was one of the most horrible experiences that people ever experienced, and it was called the Holocaust. Israel was taken into Babylonian captivity. They were taken into Assyrian captivity. And on we could go. Egyptian captivity. And when a nation forgets God, they are destined to collapse. The only hope that we have in America today is God. That's our hope. It's not another bailout plan. Not. It's not another stimulus package. But our hope is in God. And I hope he's your hope this morning. Someone said, no power on earth can shake my faith in America, this land which is my home. Its beauty and its bounty are a part of me. I have breathed the free wind that blows across the mountains and the prairies and the woods and the farms. It has given me the liberty to make a life of my own, to work, to build a home, to raise my children, and to worship God. No matter how truth is twisted to selfish ends, no matter how the efforts of a nation seem to flounder, here will I make my stand. No question about it. I will keep faith with those who have founded it. I'm sick of wars and strife, and who is not? But there is an inner depth of my spirit that has never faltered. I will keep on, and I will do my best. I'm not alone. For there are millions just like me, quiet, sincere, determined people, willing to go and to give all that they have to keep their country free. They and I believe in America. And with God's help, we shall persevere. I hope this morning that each of you will treasure the blessings of God. Because you know what? If you really stop and think about it, had you not been in a nation like America, chances are you would have never heard the Word of God. And chances are you would never be a Christian. And chances are you would not go to heaven. And chances are you would go to hell. So proud of our ancestors? Yes, extremely proud. Thankful? You betcha. And I hope that you are too. And when you celebrate America this coming Saturday on the 4th of July, I hope it'll not just be another picnic, another family reunion, another cookout, but it'll be a time for us to pause and say, thank you, God. Thank you. This morning would be a good time for us to pause and say, thank you, God, for Jesus, who liberated us from our sin. And because of the cross, it stands as a real symbol of freedom this morning. You and I have the hope of life eternal. I think about all that the spiritual leaders went through years ago to preserve this book that we call the Bible. It didn't come by accident. It didn't come easy. But it came through tears and sweat and blood and a conviction that what God said is true. And it has been preserved through the ages and is still just as true now as it ever has been. I hope this morning that if you're not a Christian, that you would get on God's side. As I mentioned this morning in our Bible class, someone asked Abraham Lincoln the question one time, Mr. Lincoln, when all the Civil War was raging, they said, Mr. Lincoln, do you think that God is on your side? To which he responded, the real question, my friend, is not whether God is on my side, but whether or not I am on his. And that is the question this morning. Are you on God's side? Do you believe in him with all of your heart? Have you obeyed his gospel? Have you been born again of the water and the Spirit? Have you acknowledged him as the God of the universe? And have you professed the wonderful and blessed name of his Son Jesus to be the Christ? And have you been buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life, to really be liberated, to know all your sins are forgiven and life has begun anew for you? You can do that this morning, and you can have that assurance and that confidence as you leave this building this morning by being baptized for the remission of your sin. And as a child of God, perhaps through weak moments, perhaps maybe through negligence on your part, perhaps just simply a refusal to stand up for what you know is right. It may not be politically correct, but because you know what is right, you are standing on the Word of God, and that's where we stand this morning, and we invite you to join us as we stand there, while we stand and while we sing.
Hark, the gentle voice of Jesus calleth tenderly.